All right, go ahead, please. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, in these unusual times, strange things are happening, and I never thought I would be preaching to Anna Green Gables, but Marjorie has a doll of Anna Green Gables, and she is in the audience this morning. And there are others who are in the audience whom I cannot see. So this morning I would like to share about the glory of God in exile from the prophet Ezekiel. And I'm preaching on this morning, rather on the entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, because our present situation reminds us of the people of God who were taken into exile away from the land into Babylon. And so there were prophets who were also in exile with the people of God. And one of those prophets was Ezekiel. And our situation is, in some sense, similar to the people of Israel, in a very small sense, because presently we are isolated, not by choice. We are in some way exiled from the things that we would like to do, the places we would like to be. But here we are this morning, and I want to encourage us from the word of the Lord that even though we are in exile, God has not left us, but he is with us. And so the prophet Ezekiel, whose name means "Let God be my strength," was taken into exile with many of the people, the elites. And he was taken into exile in the year 597, just a little history here, 597 BC. And while he was in exile, he saw the glory of God in a vision. And he saw the glory of God departing from the temple in Jerusalem while he was in Babylon, away from the temple in Jerusalem. He saw the glory of God in this great vision, departing the temple. And later on, the glory of God, which he saw, came to him right there in Babylon, while he was among the people of God there. They were sitting next to a river. We read in Psalm 137, and there we have a glimpse of what they were actually doing in Babylon at the time. So Psalm 137, here we get a glimpse of the situation of the people of Israel while they were in Babylon. This is what they were saying here, Psalm 137. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept, when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the people of God responded, How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget your skill. May my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its foundation. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one. How blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you repaid us. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock." So here we have a glimpse of what the people of God were doing in exile. They were next to the river, and they were tormented by their enemies. They were telling them, why don't you sing? a song. You have been taken away from Jerusalem, and now you are in captivity. Are you able to sing? Are you able to have joy in your heart? And that is the case with many today. Many who are in this place of isolation, they're very sad. And the devil might be taunting them to sing. The devil might be creating sadness and sorrow, and they might not be able to sing. But for us, God's people, we are able to sing. Even though we are in the state of isolation caused by this virus, and we are not able to go to church this morning in a building, yet we are in church, and we are able to sing the songs of Zion. So Ezekiel was among the people there. We read in the first verse in his prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 1, he says, "Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." So Ezekiel was there with some of the captives by the river, and he saw visions of God. And that vision was the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. And then 2 years after this, Ezekiel saw the glory of God again. And this time, when he saw the glory of God, God actually spoke to him. So in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 22, 23 and 24, this is what the prophet says. Ezekiel chapter 3, he says, "And the hand of the Lord was on me there. And he said to me, 'Get up, go out to the plain there, and there I will speak to you.' So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Kibar." That's in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1. "And I fell on my face. The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. And he spoke with me and said to me, 'Go shut yourself up in your house.'" See? The Spirit of God told Ezekiel to shut himself up in a house. Very similar to our situation here. We have been told by the medical experts, by our government officials, to stay home, wash your hands, isolate from people so that this virus would be contained. Now, Ezekiel was not told to shut up because of some virus, but he was told to shut up in his house as a sign of judgment upon the people of Israel. But nevertheless, he was isolated. He was separated for a while, just like we are here today. But I want us to see some words of encouragement from these verses that I just read here. That the prophet was shut up. But I want to encourage us this morning that even though he was shut up, even though he was isolated in this house, even though he was exiled, there are words of encouragement. And the first thing I want to show you this morning from Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 22 is that even though he was shut up, I want to see, even though they were in exile, I want to say, first of all, that he was not shut out from the hand of the Lord, from the power of God. Notice in verse 22, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 22, "And the hand of the Lord was on me there." Now in the Bible, the hand of the Lord speaks of the power of God. And so the prophet says that the hand of the Lord was upon him there. And so I want to remind us, I want to encourage us, that even though we are in the state of isolation, that God's power is still upon us, that God's hand is still upon us, that his power has not left us. And wherever God's glory is, God's hand is present. His power is present. We might be separated. We might be isolated. We might not be able to go to work or to go to school. But I want to remind us that God's power is upon us, that his hand is upon us. What does that mean then to us? Well, it means that we don't have to become depressed. It means that we don't have to become desperate and helpless and hopeless. But it means that God's power is able to raise us up every morning. When we wake up from our beds, we can pray and ask God to lift us up. We don't have to become depressed in this present situation because God's hand has not left us. His power is still upon us. I want to encourage you, my friends. Secondly, I want to encourage you that God's presence is not limited by our isolation. Can you see that? God's glory is his presence. In fact, the word glory actually speaks of God's very presence. And so God's presence is not limited to any geographical location. Whether we are in a building, whether we are out in the field, whether we are in our house, in our apartments, in our condos by ourselves, God's presence is not limited by any geographical location. You see, the people of Israel, they concluded, they believed that God's presence is only in the temple in Jerusalem. And if the temple is not standing, then God's presence will be absent. But God showed them that even though the temple was destroyed, he's still with them in Babylon. And his presence is not limited to a particular place. So I want to encourage you, my friends, that wherever you are, wherever we are, God's presence is with us. The Bible says, God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus said to his disciples that he will be with them and with us to the end of the days, Matthew chapter 28. And so I want to remind us that God's presence is not limited to any place, any geographical location. Wherever we are, God's presence is with us. The third thing I want to encourage you with this morning is that wherever God's glory is, his spirit is with us. Notice in verse 24, Ezekiel chapter 3, the spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. And he spoke with me and said to me, go shut yourself up in your house. Wherever God's glory is, his spirit is with us, his Holy Spirit. And thank God that his Holy Spirit is not only with his children, but his spirit is within his children. See, when someone becomes a child of God, God enters into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, and he dwells in us. And so Jesus Christ said to his disciples that he will be not just with them, but he will be in them. And so God is not only with us, but God is in our hearts because of the presence of his Holy Spirit. And my friends, that's what makes the difference for us as God's children, that God's Spirit is in us to comfort us, to strengthen us, to lift us up, to pray through us, to be with us always. And so even though you might be alone this morning, if you're a child of God, you are not alone, because the Spirit of God is with you to comfort you, to strengthen you, to speak to you. Notice what it says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 24. The Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me. Notice again in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Then he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. Oh, my friends, when God's Spirit is with us, He speaks with us. There's a song that we usually sing. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joys we share as it tarries there. Oh, my friends, the Spirit of God is with you if you're a child of God. He is in you. And when he's in you, when he's with you, he will talk with you. He will talk with you in prayer. He will talk to you in your times of sorrow, in your times of sadness, in your times of joy, even in your times of pain and sorrow. In fact, God often speaks to us very often in our times of sorrow and our times of pain. C.S. Lewis said that God sometimes whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. He shouts in our pain. And so in this time of painfulness, as we go through this pandemic, God is shouting to us in our time of pain. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to listen to him. In fact, when you read through the book of Ezekiel, that's one of the themes that is frequently repeated. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And I'm wondering if God wants the world to know at this very moment who indeed is the Lord of the universe. God wants us to know who is the Lord, who is Jehovah. He wants us to know in this time of exile and isolation, as we listen to him, as he speaks to us, he wants to remind us that he is the Lord God of the universe, not the presidents, not the prime ministers. Thank God for all of these great people. We pray for them. But let us remember that he is, and he wants us to know that he is Jehovah, the Lord of the universe. Don't forget that, my friends. In all of our trials, in all of our present isolation, this is an opportune time for us to listen to the voice of God as he speaks to us, as he talks to us, and reminds us that he is Jehovah. He is the Lord of the universe. Maybe you have never thought of him as the Lord of the universe. Maybe you have never spent time in quiet to listen to him. Well, these are opportunities for us to spend time to listen to him. And he has spoken to us again and again. He has spoken to us in his word, and then he has spoken to us in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world. And he is the ultimate glory of God, the ultimate presence of God, Jesus Christ, the very presence of God with us. We thank God for him, and we thank God for his word. We thank God for his spirit. We thank God for his power, and we thank him for his presence with us. I admonish you, I encourage you this morning, my friends, to look to him and remember that he loves you and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit that you have given to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for each one who is listening to my voice this morning. They might be alone, but remind them, Lord, that you are with them. And for those who do not know you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will visit them this morning and enter into their hearts and speak to them and comfort them and strengthen them and give them the assurance that all will be well in Jesus Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We pray for our brothers and sisters across this globe, all those that are gathering together like us this moment. May you bless your people, bless your church everywhere. And we pray that you'll bless all those who are seeking to help with deliverance in this time of opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen.